This is The Takeaway. I'm Shamitha Basu. Essential workers, from delivery drivers to nurses to grocery store clerks to audio board operators and so many more, have been keeping us all going for the last 2 months. We've talked on this show about the stress and the risks that essential workers face doing their work under these circumstances. Now, as it becomes clear that COVID-19's grip on the country is far from over, we wanted to check in on not just essential workers who are still getting out there every day, but also on their loved ones, the ones who, for weeks or months, have been supporting, fearing for, and loving frontline workers, often from afar. And we heard from so many of you.
My name is Cynthia, and I'm calling today to let everyone know that I live with an essential worker. He's a first responder, he's a fireman, and he and I have not seen each other in 9 weeks. And I'm immunosuppressed, so in order to keep me safe, he is elected not to come home. So it's rough.
I am the essential worker in the household. Everyone else is home, and it puts a strain on the relationship because I'm not only doing what I used to do. When I get home, it creates a whole different issue because of what I may have been exposed to. I'm limited to certain areas in the house. I find it difficult to take care of elderly parents. There's a lot of stress that goes with being an essential worker.
My name is Judith Brown, calling from Lakewood, New Jersey. My daughter's a paramedic. She's also expecting, and I completely understand her need to serve, but at the same time, it makes things a little stressful. Still, I'm just going to be there for her. You know, it doesn't really matter whether she stays well or not. I'm just going to be there for her.
This is Mark Urquhart, calling from Westport, Connecticut. ER nurses are special people to begin with, and we live next to a very special one of those. Josephine, who we bought a ukulele for to take her mind off of being at ER, and we bring her flowers for her pleasure.
This is Fred. I have a son who is a sheriff in one of the largest counties in the country. I am a past firefighter, and I think the answer is we just do our jobs. We rely on our faith, whatever that faith may be. Mine is a belief in Heavenly Father, and we do our jobs, and we move forward because we're supposed to. And it's just that simple.
This is Julie calling from Erie, Colorado, and my daughter is providing emergency child care for essential workers. And she's actually doing really well. She mostly just comes home very tired. She takes amazing precautions to protect herself and the rest of us in our house. And I just do my best to listen every day and greet her with a glass of wine.
These experiences you shared resonate with many of us who have loved ones working in essential jobs right now, including my colleague, Verilyn Williams.
So my dad works for FedEx. He's been mostly focused on shipping.
Verilyn is the senior producer for the WNYC Studios podcast, The United States of Anxiety. She and her family are from Sierra Leone, and she says the desire to help others has always been a part of who her dad is.
Especially when it comes to like the Sierra Leonean community, that responsibility of being helpful to the community, he's always been that person.
But now, after weeks of doing essential work on the streets of New York, and with more weeks ahead, Verilyn is thinking about what makes her dad vulnerable as he keeps going out day after day.
As Black people, whether it's health risks, whether it's, you know, the ways in which like being confronted by racism, whether it's our body, it's hard for me to say this out loud, but like my dad is at the intersection of all of that, right? And so it's like when you know better, you have to do better. And it's just been hard for me to accept that he's just like out here on the train every day, you know? Like I haven't been on the train since March 9th, you know? And I guess I wish that I was in a position to be able to pay his mortgage so he doesn't have to get on the train, you know? So it's been difficult. Mm-hmm. It's just been like in this world of uncertainty that we're all living in, it's just, you're almost waiting for the other shoe to drop, right? I just feel like I'm going to get a call and something, you know, something horrible is going to be at the end of that call. But I will say though, that there is the other side of things where if my dad did stay home every day, like how would that affect his mental health? Right. And so I think I'm just trying to weigh out those things. And how about you, Shamita? I know that you have family who are also essential workers.
Yeah, well, my sister-in-law, Christina, has been a nurse for many years, and she now works as a lactation specialist. So she's working with moms and new moms in a hospital here in New York. And my little cousin is a high school senior in New Jersey, and he's been accepted to NYU in the fall. He wants to go into a medical field. And for the past few months, he's been continuing his work as a volunteer EMT. And I've been so blown away by him still going out and being really dedicated to doing this work at this really difficult time and seeing a bunch of really difficult scenes, too. And I think that these are the things that I'm weighing when I'm talking to people these days in the work that I'm doing. For me, at least, as a reporter, when I'm not sitting in this chair and filling in for Tanzina Vega here on The Takeaway, usually I'm a reporter in the WNYC newsroom. And ever since this the stay-at-home order has been in place in New York, I've been doing my reporting from my living room and just making a lot of phone calls, which is really not the preferred way of reporting, but it's all that we've been able to do. And for me, at least, I feel like I now approach every phone call with the assumption that the person I'm calling is likely dealing with some form of trauma. They might be dealing with loss. They might be dealing with illness in their family. Or they might just be dealing generally with the anxiety of having someone that they love doing essential work right now and worrying about them. I wonder if you're feeling like these conversations that you're having with your dad are informing your work that you're making right now.
You know, journalism and the spaces that I've worked have always felt very white and not necessarily speaking to my experience or speaking to people in my life or people in my community. And so I've always worked really hard to kind of center that in my work. And so, yeah, this moment is no different. It's a struggle, though, because I think a lot of the people most impacted by COVID have always been the people who have been on the margins, right? And so I think I do, because we can't go out, I do feel a lot of survivor's remorse, I guess, around the fact that I just know that, yes, I can turn the lens to my parents because I have access to them in this moment, and I could, like, have my dad come to my house and talk to him. But then I also think about, like, well, you know, I moved to this building. Like, is there someone in this building that should not be sheltering in home with the people that are in their house, right? And I think I just, because that's the work that I've always done, not being able to do it but still be so close to it, it feels, yeah, I try not to think about it too much because I would probably drive myself crazy a little bit.
Verilyn Williams is a senior producer for the WNYC Studios podcast, The United States of Anxiety. Verilyn, thank you so much.
Thank you, Shamita.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.